pull out a sectional chart. Any sectional. Spread it out on the kitchen table like we all used to before everything moved to a screen. Now look at the empty spaces. Not the airports, not the airways. The blank stretches between them. In the middle of each of those grid boxes printed in blue, you'll find two numbers. One big, one small, stacked like a little fraction with no line. Most students fly right past them. For years, honestly, so did I. Those two numbers might be the most important thing on the whole chart. And today we're going to talk about why this is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to make you a little bit safer and a little bit sharper before your next flight. Today it's cross-country planning, and specifically that quiet blue number called the maximum elevation figure. The MEF, the number that answers one simple life or death question. If I'm flying through this box on the map, how low is too low? Let's walk through this together. Before we get into the weeds, let me say a quick thank you to the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you don't always stop to celebrate because you're already studying for the next one. aviationsoul.com? Go take a look. Okay. The maximum elevation figure. Here's the definition, and then we'll take it apart, so it actually means something. Every sectional chart is divided into a grid by the lines of latitude and longitude. Those lines carve the chart up into quadrants, roughly 30 minutes of latitude by 30 minutes of longitude each. In plain terms, little boxes, each covering about 30 nautical miles on a side depending on where you are. Inside each box, near the center, is the MEF. It's printed in blue. The larger number is thousands of feet. The smaller number, up and to the right, is hundreds. So if you see a 1 and then a smaller 2, that's 1,200 feet. If you see an 8 and a smaller 5, that's 8,500 feet. And here's what it's telling you. The MEF represents the highest thing in that box, the tallest obstacle or the highest terrain, whichever is greater, rounded up with a buffer built in. Everything in that quadrant, the mountains, the ridgelines, the towers, the antennas, all of it, sits at or below that number. So if the box says 1,200, there is nothing in that 30-mile square reaching above 1,200 feet above sea level. Not the ridge, not the radio tower, nothing. That is a powerful piece of information to have printed right on your chart, and it costs you nothing but the discipline to look. Now, let me tell you how that number gets built, because the buffer is the part nobody explains, and it's the part that matters. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and the folks who produce the charts don't just take the highest obstacle and print its elevation. They add margin. They start with the tallest known feature in the box. Then they account for the fact that the obstacle has a stated height with some tolerance in it. Then they add a vertical buffer to cover the possibility of an obstacle that's near the edge of that tolerance, and they round up to the next 100 feet. So, the true terrain or obstacle underneath is always comfortably below the printed MEF. The number is conservative on purpose. It's built to be a number you can trust when the visibility is bad and your eyes are lying to you, but, and this is the part I really want you to hear, the MEF is not a legal altitude. It is not a minimum safe altitude in the regulatory sense. It does not include the 1,000-foot or 2,000-foot clearance you'd want over terrain. It does not account for a brand new tower that went up last month and hasn't made it onto the chart yet. It is a snapshot of the highest known obstacle, plus a small survey buffer, at the moment the chart was printed. So think of it as the floor of your thinking, not the floor of your flying. It tells you where the danger tops out. Your job is to add your own cushion on top of that. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Nobody sat me down and said, look, on a cross country, you should be running your finger box to box across your route and reading those numbers out loud. I learned to draw my course line, measure my headings, figure my fuel, and I thought that was flight planning. And it mostly is, but I skipped the vertical picture almost entirely. I was planning in two dimensions on a chart that was quietly trying to tell me about the third. Let's fix that for you right now. Let me give you a way to actually use this thing. When you plan a cross country, after you've drawn your course line, go back and walk that line box by box. Every quadrant, your magenta or your pencil line passes through, note the MEF. You're looking for the biggest one along the route. That single highest MEF on your whole trip is your worst case. That's the number that says, as long as I'm above this, I'm above everything between me and my destination, terrain and towers included. Now, add your personal cushion to it. A common rule of thumb and one I like is 1,000 feet above the highest MEF along your route in flat or rolling country, and 2,000 feet if you're anywhere near real mountains. Mountain air does things to airplanes. Downdrafts, rotor, the works. Give yourself room. Take a quick example. Say you're flying across country and the EMEFs along your line read 1400, then 1600, then 2100 over a little range of hills, then back down to 1200 near the destination. Your highest is 2100 flat-ish terrain, so add 1000, that's 3100 feet as your don't go below number for the trip. Round it up to a sensible cruise, pick your VFR cruising altitude with the hemispheric rule in mind, and now you've got an altitude that's legal, that fits the direction you're flying, and that keeps you safely above everything on the map. That's the whole point. The EMEF turned a guess into a decision. Let's talk about when this quiet little number becomes a loud, important one. Scenario. You're a VFR pilot on a cross country, and the weather is slowly going downhill. Not forecast to, but it is. The ceiling is coming down. You started at 5,500 feet with beautiful visibility, and now you're at 3,000, scud running under a lowering deck, and the ground is getting closer, and the haze is turning everything into the same shade of gray. This is exactly the trap that kills VFR pilots. Continued flight into deteriorating weather. And in that moment, the temptation is to keep descending to stay under the clouds, because staying visual feels safe. But every 100 feet you give away is 100 feet closer to something you cannot see coming through the murk. That blue number is your hard deck. If the MEEF in your box is 1900 and you find yourself getting squeezed down toward it, that is not a signal to keep going and be careful. That is the airplane telling you the decision got made a while ago and you missed it. Time to turn around. Time to climb if you've got clear air above. Time to divert to that airport you passed 20 miles back. Time to use the decide process you've drilled and break the plan continuation before it breaks you. The MEEF just told you the trap is closing. Believe it. And here's the honest part. You will not be reading grid boxes in that moment. Your brain will be full. That's why you do it on the ground. Before you ever start the engine, you look at the highest MEF on the route. You set your bottom line altitude and you write it down. So that when the gray closes in, you're not calculating. You're just remembering a number you already trust. Now, a few things about the MEF that trip people up because I want you to actually understand this and not just memorize it for the knowledge test. First, the MEF is per box, not per route. Each quadrant has its own number, and they can change dramatically from one box to the next, especially near mountains. A box out over flat farmland might read a few hundred feet. The box right next to it, with a ridge running through it, might read 6,000 or 7,000. Don't read one and assume the next one's the same. Walk the whole line. Second, the MEF includes obstacles, not just terrain. That's the part that surprises people. A perfectly flat stretch of Texas or Kansas might have a startlingly high MEF because there's a 2,000-foot guide TV antenna standing in the middle of it. The ground is at 900 feet, but that tower reaches up to 2,400, and the MEF reflects the tower. So a high number doesn't always mean mountains. Sometimes it means something skinny and hard to see that would ruin your whole day. Those tall towers are often held up by guy wires you will never spot until you're in them. The MEF sees them even when your eyes can't. Third, charts expire, and towers don't wait for the printing schedule. The MEF is current as of the chart's edition. New construction, especially in areas where they're throwing up wind turbines and cell towers by the dozen, may not be captured yet. That's why you check notices to air missions, the NOTAMs, for new obstacles, and it's why the MEF is a strong starting point and not the final word. Fly the current chart, check the notices, keep your cushion honest. Fourth, and this one's subtle, the MEF is not the same as the maximum elevation you'll see on an instrument chart, and it's not the same as a minimum safe altitude or a minimum vectoring altitude that a controller works with. Those are different tools for different jobs. The MEF is a VFR planning aid on a VFR chart. Keep the categories straight in your head so you're using the right number for the right reason. Let me tie this back to the check ride for a second, because I know a lot of you are grinding toward one. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, for the private pilot cross-country planning task expects you to be able to talk intelligently about terrain and obstacle clearance and about selecting appropriate altitudes. The examiner is looking for a pilot who doesn't just draw a line and pick a pretty altitude, but who can point at the chart and explain why that altitude is safe. If you can put your finger on the highest MEF along your planned route and say, "This is the tallest thing between me and my destination. So I'm cruising 1,000 above it, and here's why." You have just shown that examiner that you understand the vertical picture, that you plan in three dimensions. That's the difference between a pilot who memorized a checklist and a pilot who's actually thinking. and the examiner can tell the difference in about 30 seconds. Here's a little habit to build, and it's free. Next time you're planning any cross-country, even a short one you've flown 100 times, do the MEF walk, run your finger down the course line, box to box, and say the numbers out loud. Find your highest, set your bottom. It takes 90 seconds and it changes how you see the chart. Suddenly, all that blank space between the airports isn't empty anymore. It's full of information you were flying right past. And do it on real paper at least a few times, even if you fly with a tablet. The apps are wonderful, and terrain shading and obstacle alerts are genuinely great safety tools. But there's something about spreading the whole chart out and seeing the vertical story of your entire route at once that the little moving map window on a screen doesn't quite give you. Zoom out, see the whole trip. Then zoom back in and fly it. Learning to fly is hard, and it is expensive, and there's 100 numbers competing for your attention on every flight. Airspeeds, frequencies, fuel, headings, the whole orchestra. I'm not going to pretend one more number is nothing, but this is one of the cheap ones. It's already printed. It's already been calculated for you by people who surveyed that ground so you wouldn't have to. All it asks is that you look. So look, that little blue fraction in the middle of the box is the highest thing for 30 miles in every direction, and it's been waiting there the whole time to keep you off the ridge and away from the tower you never saw. My thanks to the FAA's Aeronautical Information Services for the charting standards behind all this, and to the Aeronautical Chart User's Guide, which lays out exactly how those figures are built if you want to read it for yourself. You can find more of these segments over at radiohanger.com whenever you want them. Go pull out a chart tonight. Find the boxes, read the numbers. And I'll see you back here in the pattern.